Good evening, happy Monday, welcome along. You're listening to The Last Leg on WLR with Jordan Norris, coming up on tonight's show. It's the last leg, my final Monday, bringing you all the weekend sporting action, but what a weekend it was. Emma Murray and Beth Carton, All-Stars. Solomon King-Simon, World Champion. Ballygunner and Kilrossenty, through to Munster Finals. Dylan Moran joins us to talk all things retirement. It's a jam-packed show, but where else to start? Dare to dream. The Republic of Ireland are through to the FIFA World Cup playoffs. Maybe, just maybe, we'll be on the road to North America.
Crying is, I said against Portugal that this is what dreams are made of, but this tonight is, I don't think I'll ever have a better night in my whole life.
That's up there with some of the greatest comebacks I've ever seen from an Irish international.
Get goosebumps listening to it. I actually could start crying. I was lucky enough to be in the Aviva on Thursday night when we beat Portugal, and you start to get this semblance of maybe there's a reason that we have the hope that we have. And even watching yesterday when Troy Parrott got the second goal, you just had that little bit of hope that that one chance would come. And when it came, oh my God, fingers crossed I'll be on the plane to North America next summer. One man who hopefully will be on that plane to North America next summer is a Capoquin man. That man, Jason Malumbi. Another great performance from him in the Irish midfield yesterday. And after the match in Budapest, he spoke to Off the Ball and tried to sum up his emotions immediately afterward.
Jason, can you put it towards how you're feeling now?
Unbelievable, yeah. Just over the moon. Can't believe it. It's just crazy, yeah. Just an unbelievable night. So we're delighted.
Must be frustrating for you on Thursday night watching the victory, having not been available for selection that night.
I wouldn't say frustrated. I would say I was just cheering on the lads, hoping we could get a result to keep it alive tonight. And thankfully the boys were brilliant and just buzzing to come in tonight and get a win.
Get the negative stuff out of the way first, because Hamer Hallgrimsson was in his press conference there and he admitted that, look, Hungary were probably the better team across the night. Did you feel that yourselves as players across the, I suppose, that first maybe 70 to 80 minutes that you weren't at your best?
Yeah, I think so. I think the lads put in such a tough shift the other night. They're a tough game against Portugal at home. I think the energy, quick turnaround, that maybe played its part. I think we're just really disappointed with the goals conceded. I think from our point of view, it was nothing. Obviously, it's an unbelievable second strike, but I think myself can probably get tighter to the man edge of the box to try affect his strike and stuff. So there's always going to be negatives, but I hope there's not too many from you guys.
Tonight.
I think we've got to be positive for a little bit, anyway.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you go in at half time, you're obviously, kind of frustrated that you conceded those two goals, but there does seem to be a belief within the squad now. Do you think that's something that you maybe didn't have before?
Yeah, I think so. I think we definitely believed. Just positive at half time. Obviously, we were disappointed with our performance, and we knew we had to throw everything at it in the second half. And I think we did. Like with the coaching staff, the substitutions they made, they were brave. We went for it. So yeah, I think we were positive at half time, and we were trying to gear each other forward and be positive with each other, yeah.
As a fellow midfielder, how impressed were you by Finn Azaz's little ball over the top for Troy Parrott?
I said to him after, I think he changed the game, to be fair, when he dropped back. Like I said, we went for it, went all out, so obviously take myself out, you know, not as creative as Finn. And thankfully, Finn puts an unbelievable pass, great timed run from try, and a great way to pass. So, he definitely, like that, just switched momentum for us. So,
and then Troy's timing of the run as well, it had to be bang on, didn't it?
Yeah, it was, and Troy is very good at that. He's excellent with his movement and his timing and stuff, so he deserves it.
So what's going through your mind when that ball goes over from Quevin Keller, it goes over the top, but Nathan Collins is there to head it? Like, was there a feeling that the match was slipping away from you? Did you feel up until that winning goal?
No, 2-2. I think there was always going to be moments. Like, we watched the Armenia game against Hungary, and we knew Hungary were piling on the pressure late on. There, they missed a big chance at the end, so I think we knew it was gonna be like that. And obviously, when you're protecting the results like they were, naturally you sort of sit off and go to defend your box. And I think it invited us on, and luckily we got the winner.
Troy Parrott there again. Yeah. He's just incredible.
He is. Yeah, he's unreal. I'm delighted for him. He deserves it. He's worked really hard. He's great lad, and buzzing for him.
And to watch you all celebrating when the goal went in, like everybody come off the bench, players on the pitch, like what do those moments do for a team?
Brings us all close together. I think we've been pretty close anyway the last few camps. You know, we're always interacting with each other and messing about with each other in camp, and it's everyone involved in it as well. It's not just little groups. We've got everyone involved in different games and different things that we're doing, so it's a good laugh in camp.
Just two final ones then. Hamer Hallgrimsson, what can you say about him? What has he done for this team to change things?
He's made us believe, I suppose. The massive thing, made us believe. Obviously, he works hard. I think we're well drilled in what he wants. I think, like you've seen the Portugal game, where I think the tactics were down to the tee, where we knew that they'd have a lot of possession, but as soon as we turned it over, there was so much space in behind, and I think we exploited that. So, credit to him and the staff, because, like I said, they made the great substitutions tonight, and it paid off massively. So,
just to finish then, you're a Waterford man. I was coming over the plane, I met people from Donegal, Galway, Cork, Meath, Dublin, everywhere from all over the country, Derry, Belfast. Have you got a message for supporters when you look ahead to those two playoffs now? Everyone that supported you from all over the country, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I'd say just thanks very much for everything. I think there's been some sad news with the underage recently about a couple of my ex-managers, ex-coaches who have done an incredible job, like Tom Moe and Colin O'Brien. You know, there's rumours about sort of them being left go by the association, which hurts me so much to hear that, because they've done incredible for us, and what you see now is the work from people like them and people from grassroots, and the time, the passion that they have is incredible. So I just say thanks very much to all of them.
Congratulations, Jason. Thank you.
Well done, Jason. Well done, Ireland. Hope is an incredible thing. Fingers crossed we'll have many, many happy stories when we're at the World Cup next summer. Don't go anywhere. After the break, we're talking all things Ballygunner.
Possession hurling here from Ballygunner out on the middle of the field. Kevin Mahoney. Kevin going for a long one. It's going to drop in around the goal mouth. Hard pulling aside. Ball breaks. A chance of a goal. It's a brilliant goal. The ball lobbed in. Batted down. Who better than the man wearing 10? Desi Hutchinson. Finish it to the back of the net. Give that man an opportunity. He'll take it. Brilliant finish by Desi. Ball goes through. Chance for Desi. Oh my God. What a mistake by the defender. Who better to pounce on the mistake and to capitalise on the mistake? Desi on the double. Desi gave the keeper no chance. What a fumble by the defender there.
Unbelievable, yeah. He came out for the ball, completely missed it. And you have a Ballygunner 10-point lead straight away.
Second goal for Desi, 11 and a half minutes here. Stars on the attack here. Daniel Hogan with a chance of a score. Going straight through, trying to walk it in and gets it into the back of the net. They needed a goal, they've got a goal. And the big man in the middle of the field, Daniel Hogan, took on his marker. He was determined to go through. Thought he lost it for a while and scrambled the ball into the back of the net.
Yeah, like Daniel Hogan now is after moving to centre forward there, Kieran, and you can see the little pass inside from Jack Connor. He took Bonnie's man.
And he takes the free, but it's dropping in around, looking for the big man, batted down inside in the full forward, and breaks to Sweeney. He pulls in the chance, and a second goal for Hogan. They wanted a good start to the second half, and Dermot O'Sullivan punches the air on the line. The Rock is happy, Sarves are happy. What a start to the second half.
Yes.
You said they needed a good start, they've got it.
Yeah, it's definitely the start they needed. I thought maybe Colm McCarthy would put that one over the bar, drop short. Wasn't dealt with the Ballygunner backs, and ground hurling, you can't beat it.
Gets the ball across to Paddy Levy, the Dublin-based player, tried to get into Patrick Fitz inside. Has Patrick gone inside his marker? Patrick is in on goal, taking his shot. What's he going to do? Scoops it in the back of the net. What a retort to the earlier goal. The Rock puts his hand in his head. Could you believe it? End-to-end stuff. Ball into Patrick Fitz. Turned his marker. Showed great, great coolness and skill there. And just put it into the back of the net.
Yeah, and the two backs from Sarsis went for that ball. And none of them commanded. Patrick got under Hurley. Ran in on sole run. And again, feigned a strike. And then give a little flick into the net. Great score.
The ball is intercepted by Peter Hogan inside the 45. Hogan just squirts the ball on. A chance here for the Gunners. If they can get the shot in, into the back of the net. What a finish there. The goalie will be disappointed. Peter Hogan picked up the crumbs there. But my God, what a finish by Kevin Mahoney. Peter set it up, but Kevin Mahoney just buried it.
Welcome back. Ballygunner fired four goals on their way to a deserved and thrilling triumph over reigning Munster champion Sarsfield, securing their long-awaited revenge at Welch Park yesterday. In the Munster Senior Club Hurling Championship semi-final, it finished Ballygunner 4-18, Sarsfields of Cork 2-17. Two goals from Desi Hutchinson, one each for Patrick Fitzgerald and Kevin Mahoney. Jason Ryan's men now advance to an eighth successive provincial decider. I was there at Azori Welch Park yesterday, and afterwards I spoke to Mikey Mahoney and Ian Kenny. Mikey Mahoney, Ballygunner through to an eighth Munster final in a row. That was some battle against Sarsfield today, made to work for it.
Yeah, look, I suppose we knew we were in for a big test. Like, you see what happened to us last year. We probably felt we didn't show up, and, you know, calling it as it is, we probably got ran off the pitch. So, look, we put a big emphasis on 2 weeks ago against Napiershig and again today, and thankfully we got over the line, yeah.
That superior forward quality, like, I mean, getting balls into lads to dispatch them into four goals, like, a good start is always so imperative in a game like this as well, to kind of have them chasing you as opposed to being up against it. Desi, two chances, ball in the back of the net, and then when you're up against it in the second half, the lads get two chances and you get two goals again.
Yeah, like, I think when you're playing with a big wind like we were in the first half, you probably do need to capitalise on it, or else you're probably chasing yourself from there. So, like, you talk about our forwards and stuff like that, but, like, the backs were incredible today as well, like always. So, yeah, look, delighted to get over the line.
What does it mean now to be true to another Munster final? Because I suppose, like, you know, you do take a game at a time, but when you set out your stall for season, these are the places that you do want to be.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I suppose we did have it, calling it as it is, we probably did have a lot of hurt 12 months ago, but, like, I suppose you can't really talk about getting into Munster finals and things like that, because it's game by game, or else you're going to be caught out. So, like, I suppose, look, we'll enjoy, I suppose, the win today, and then it's all about 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. And just a final one, I have to ask you about the return of your brother Pádraig today. It was really crucial, like, again, just to keep those scores coming over, and again, just the influence that you'd have in the team, that calm and presence, like, you know, you can't understate that.
Yeah, of course, and I suppose it's probably something we thought about 2 weeks ago, going up to Napiershie without Pádraig. It was going to be a big task for us, and, you know, I suppose maybe getting over the line there, other people had to show their leadership that he has years gone by. So, look, great to have him back in today. Nice to see a few of them frees going over the bar and that shit.
And what's it mean to be back in a Munster final again? It's just unbelievable. Like, it's just consistency is the key, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose, like, I remember being as a Ballygunner supporter and things like that, and probably thinking Ballygunner would never get to Munster finals and stuff like that, or even try to get over the line in them. And luckily now we've played in a couple of them, but look, we need to get over the line now in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Well, very best of luck, Mikey, and congratulations on a fantastic performance today.
Thanks very much.
Ian Kenny, Ballygunner through to an eighth Munster final in a row, hard-fought battle, 4-18 to 2-17 against Sarsfields. That was some game.
Ah, yeah, it was a great game. We were happy to get a performance. That was the main thing. We were weren't happy with the performance we put in last year against ours, and look, we just wanted to put in a performance here. That was the main thing. And if we were a bit, we just wanted to show what we were about. And look, I think we did that today for a majority of the match, not all of it, but look, we're happy, and another Munster final to look forward to. Sunreal.
I suppose it's the old adage that a good start is half the battle. Like, those two early goals from Desi really put you in the driving seat. Pádraig tapping over the freeze. Once you get a lead and you establish that, like, it's I suppose it's a lot easier when you're being chased as opposed to having to chase a game.
I suppose definitely. Like, scores are harder to get in the winter. The ball doesn't travel as far. The ground is a bit heavier. So look, if you can get any bit of a lead at the start of the game, you'll take it. But look, we knew Sarsfields were going to come back at us. They weren't going to go down without a fight, and they didn't. So it's a good battle, and look, we're, again, We just can't wait for Munster final out in 2 weeks.
Game management and resilience definitely comes into play as well, Ian, because when they get that goal at the start of the second half, panic can start to creep in, but trust Patrick Fitzgerald, Kevin Mahoney to get the goals to kill the game off, and then it was about game management from there on in. And that's something that comes with experience as well, knowing what to do and knowing not to panic in those moments.
Yeah, I suppose it is. And look, we just the boys were on fire up front, and it was just, to be honest, we had to do our job at the back and get the ball into them. That's all we could do, and it was probably mistakes at the back that kind of kept them into it. But look, the more ball we get into the boys, the better, because they're on fire in there.
Would revenge have come into play today, I suppose?
No, it wouldn't. Look, as I said, we weren't happy with the performance we gave last year. We didn't feel we showed what we were about. But look, we just wanted to give a performance today, and that was all that mattered. Didn't matter who we were playing. We just wanted to get back to that Munster final and, again, put in a performance in 2 weeks' time.
And what does it mean to be back in an eighth Munster final in a row? I mean, it's an embodiment of consistency.
Look, it's great. To be honest, it shortens the winter. The nights are getting longer. The nights are getting colder now. And look, it's great to be going up training with your best friends and working towards something. So look, it's great.
Fantastic. Ian Kenny, congratulations and very best luck in the Munster final.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
Huge congratulations to Ballygunner True to Face Aoire Óg Ennis in the Munster Senior Club Hurling Championship final on Sunday week. Commiserations to Tallow, narrow loss against O'Callaghan Mills of Clare in the intermediate semi-final up in Mallow yesterday. Finished 123-121 in favour of O'Callaghan Mills. Tallow narrowly missing out on a place in the Munster final, but a fantastic season for them. And a massive congratulations to Kilrossandy. They are through to the Munster Junior Club Hurling Championship final for the second year in a row on Saturday. They beat Care of Tipperary 4-14-11, a comprehensive victory in Libby Bryan. And next Saturday, they'll take on Kilbritton of Cork in the Munster Junior final. Fingers crossed they can go one better than last year. After the break, we're going to be joined by Waterford boxer Dylan Moran. Welcome back to The Last Leg with Jordan Norris. Now, it's the last leg, and unfortunately, I've seen the last in the ring of the man that's across from me, but I definitely haven't seen the last of him by any means, because I know he's a man with a very bright future in many different avenues. That man is Waterford's very own Dylan Moran. Dylan, you've called time on your boxing career. I suppose, as things go on in life, circumstances change, things change. But I think it's a decision, now that you've probably had a couple of weeks to look back over, that you're probably delighted you made, I'd say.
Yeah, I never seen it. Firstly, thanks for having me in, Jordan. Delighted to be here. I never seen it ending that way. Unexpected, I think, is the word to describe it. But yeah, it happened. It is what it is now. It's been and gone. And I'm okay with it. The few weeks following weren't that easy, if I'm being honest. But these things you have to accept. It was a crazy night, that night. But I will not leave that, you know, overshadow what my career was. You know, 25 years I've spent in the game, and I'm very happy how it went.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, that's not going to be your overriding memory or your legacy that you leave behind, anything of the sort. But I suppose the scare that you would have got, obviously, from health grounds and so on afterwards, didn't, like, it's probably a bit of a wake-up call in a way.
Yeah, I was always well aware of it, if I'm being honest. But it's one of those things you think it can never happen to me. And, you know, also this year, the late and great John Cooney, you know, a great friend of mine, he passed away at the very beginning of this year. So it was very real to us all. But again, you think it won't happen. And lo and behold, on that night it happened to me. I found myself in the back of the ambulance on the way to the hospital. And a scary night. I don't even think words can describe how scary it was, to be honest. And a wake-up call it was, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, look, thankfully recovered on the other side. Plenty of other things to look forward to in life as well. And as you say, you've probably had the benefit now of hindsight for a few weeks. Like, and everything that you probably wanted to achieve in life from a boxing perspective, you managed to tick those boxes.
Well, that's it, Jordan. The very first day of coming in here for the interviews, I would have always said I always wanted a big night in Waterford and just to be involved in domestic fights. You know, in the last 18 months of my career, 2 years, we had two massive nights in Waterford, and I was involved in two of the biggest domestics you could ask for with Tyrone McKenna. So exactly what I wanted, I got. So yeah, besides the ending, I'm happy with how it all went.
Absolutely, yeah. And like as you said, you know, all your life, it's all you've ever known. It's not even just like a job, it's a livelihood, it's a way of living. It kind of consumes everything for you. So you're only 30 years old. Like, you know, there's so much ahead of you. There's so many different places where your skill set is relative. And I think a lot of it for you, from what I know of you, has always been about giving back to people as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I found a real calling for that in the last kind of legs of my career. I want to go into online coaching big time, but I just didn't have the time for it. I used to give absolutely everything to boxing. But now, you know, I've got plenty of time on my hands. I'm about to launch the online coaching tomorrow, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've spent my whole life just trying to be the best Dylan Moran I can be each day, so I know a thing or two about it. So yeah, the next chapter for me is just helping people become better versions of themselves, and yeah, it's exciting.
And again, the things that boxing teaches you about yourself in terms of discipline, mindset, consistency, you know, resilience, like everything is relative in terms of everyday life as well. So you take them skills and you can apply them to whatever you do going forward. Like, you know, it's given you so much to work with.
Definitely. I don't think anything can come by me in life now that I won't be ready for. The last 25 years in boxing has moulded me into, obviously, the man I am today with all them characteristics as you mentioned, but I feel well equipped to take whatever life throws at me going forward, especially how it ended. Then right up until a few weeks ago, it's the hardest period of my life. I come at the very end of it. But again, it's all experience in the bank, and yeah, just looking forward to whatever's next.
I think the journey is incredible because, like, you think of how many places across the world that brought you, all the different people that you would have met, the people that you shared the ring with. Like, obviously, your early days, your kickboxing journey, so many things that we could talk about. But I think for you, from almost what you were born into, there was never really going to be another option in terms of, like, you were born and bred into boxing.
Yeah, it was always going to be one way for me, Jordan, but... You know, I've been fighting since I'm 5 years of age. It came to an end when I'm 30. That's 25 years. Them risks could have happened in any fight. I avoided them for 25 years. The life I lived, I'm very grateful for. It's been amazing. The people I've met, the countries I've seen, the opportunities that I now have at the back of my career is unbelievable. And like I said, just excited for what's next. It was a pity how it ended, but that's life. These things happen.
Absolutely. So many moments that are standout, you know, like victories that are so memorable, like different steps along the way for you. But I think it's always, for you, was about coming back to Waterford, as you mentioned, the big nights in Waterford in particular. And you were always involved with younger boxers here coming back. Like, I know you've always played a big part in your own brother's career, so to speak, and giving back in the community. And I think that's probably where I always saw when the actual boxing career ends for you. That's the avenue that you were going to go down. I know you're obviously going into coaching that too. So it comes as no surprise to me that that's what you've chosen.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the big nights in Waterford were my dream since a young kid, and I had two of them. So, yeah, I've absolutely zero regrets. I know it ended a bit earlier than expected, but I got what I wanted just before it ended. Also, you know, Waterford boxing means a lot to me. My younger brother coming through and plenty of talent. And I hope to see in a few years that, like, what I've done inspires him or shows him that it can be done, it's possible, and hopefully we see many more shows in Waterford in years to come.
Being in that spotlight, being an individual sportsman, like, there's so much pressure on you, but I suppose when it comes down to those crunch moments, like, I know you have people in your corner and you have all the advice in the world, but it's you in the ring and you're taking the punches and you're trying to get the result. Like, I can imagine it can be a very, very lonely existence.
Oh, my whole life was spent on my own, really. You know, living in Germany, Austria, Manchester, everything on my own, just in the room. But I knew that's what I was signing up for, and I liked it. I can't sit here and say that it was, you know, it was lonely and I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be there. I was living the dream. But definitely a lonely sport. You know, you're rocking on your own in boxing. You can have your team and all that with you. When I had a great team. But once that bell goes, it's you and you only.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I think you always were conscious of that. You were always so self-aware, and you always knew that, you know, the risk and the reward, they outweigh one another. Like, if you don't put in those efforts, that you're not going to get out what you want to get out of the game. And, like, low moments, they're what makes you the person that you are, far more than the successes, I always feel.
Oh, definitely. My lowest times in life all came from boxing, but they're the days that made me, and they're the ones that pushed me on to have the good days, so to speak. And I have plenty of low ones right up until the last one, you know. I'm delighted to be back to myself today. It took me a while, but that one, for example, that could have been 10 times worse, you know, literally. You know, I feel like I've got a second chance at life, and again, I'm just excited for whatever comes next.
You always drew an awful lot of attention, I suppose, because of the circles that you would have been involved in terms of publicity and many, many more reasons, Dylan. Like, you always had such a phenomenal fanfare around you, in fairness. Like, when it came to domestic Irish boxers for the last 4 or 5 years, you were one of the first names that jumped off people's lips. And again, I suppose there's a balancing act with that level of attention. Like, I mean, it's always welcome and it's brilliant when the days are good, but I imagine it can be tough enough to manage at the same time.
Yeah, it is. But again, it's like living on your own. You know what you're signing up for, and you know that's part and parcel. And in my younger years, I really enjoyed it all. If I'm being honest, you know, 30 now, I'm kind of pushing on. The last 2 or 3 years, it wasn't as enjoyable, and you want that quiet life. And, you know, the flip side of it is I have that today, and I'm really enjoying it. But also, just once again, if it's the last time I get to say thank you, you mentioned the support. You know, all the opportunities I had, all the fights I was involved in, they all happened simply because the people of Waterford and from afar came out and got behind me time and time again. The support has been unbelievable for the last decade or more or so for my career. And yeah, if it's the last time I want to say thank you, I mean it. Thank you.
Absolutely. And again, you know, everybody knows from the way that you carry yourself that there's obviously is that level of gratitude as well, because I don't think you're ever anything with the people around you. Your own support system, like going back to family, friends, there's such a wide circle there behind you. Like everybody along the way, you don't realise it at the time. But I think when you can look back, you can realise, you know, if I hadn't taken that step, if I hadn't answered that call, things like that, like small little moments, they all count, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. And it's now that it's over and I'm looking back on everything, I'm a lot more appreciative of it. I think as it's happening, you're in the middle of it and you don't really realise it. But now, like the last few weeks, I've done a lot of just walking and thinking, and I'm like, I've lived the absolute dream. Zero regrets, been all over, way out on my expectations. Like, you know, a 13-year-old Dylan Moran's dreams, I lived. And again, it goes back to the people getting behind me. I hope everybody enjoyed the career as much as I did. And yeah, looking forward to whatever's next.
Welcome. We're just going to take a short break. Myself and Dylan Norris, we'll be back. And I'm joined in the studio by former Waterford boxer Dylan Moran. I was going to ask you if there were any regrets, but I think your mindset shows me that you believe that things had to happen the way that they happened for you to be where you are now. Like, I mean, as you said, there's obviously those moments that are great and there's moments that are awful, but I think it is a case of everything's a perfect storm.
Yeah, definitely. And they're first world problems. You know, like I said, I can just show nothing but gratitude for it. Especially coming to the end, it's a big moment at the end and how I got over it with a second chance, you know, and I'm really excited. I've got to have a plan for everyone. And like, the way it finished for me, I was there, I experienced it. It was absolutely terrifying, if I'm being honest. So to have the career I had, to experience what I experienced in Belfast and then come out of it in full health, yeah, grateful is what I am.
I think there's such a level of respect that was shown in the aftermath of that as well, because like, it can't have been an easy decision to make. Sometimes I know you've probably got no choice. It's like having a gun to your head. But the level of respect from Tyrone McKenna, the level of respect from people in the boxing world to know that, you know, how difficult that decision must have been for you. Like, I think everybody acknowledges what a journey it's been.
Yeah, it's been unbelievable, and that respect, it comes from the sport of boxing. It's the beautiful thing about it, to be honest. Like, me and Tyrone McKenna would be great friends today. We weren't before the two fights, and it's mad how it works. Even when I was in hospital in Antrim, you know, Tyrone and Jamie Conlon are coming to the hospital to see me and stuff like that. And like I said, that's the beautiful thing about the game.
Yeah. And I suppose for those of us on the outside looking in, like, I don't think we'll ever really be able to understand that in terms of like the physical turmoil, the emotional side of it as well. Like, simple things like making weight, like those hard yards in the gym, things like that, like, I think as much as you can try and explain it to somebody, like, unless you live it yourself, you're never going to understand it.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You have to live it. You have to be there. I've spent my whole life making weight. It's mad you mentioned that. If there's one thing I'm happy about is that I never have to make weight again. Everything I lay my eyes on, I'm eating, and I don't have to worry about it. But they're all the hard yards that come with the game. I don't want to make it sound like it's not worth it, because it is. Because when you have your good days, they're more than worth it.
And I think like balance coming into life is such an important thing as well, Dylan, because like anything, I know obviously it was your way of life for so long, but at the end of the day, you can also trip back and say, well, it's just a job. At the end of the day, I'm a normal everyday person like the rest of you. So there's that sense of it too. There's probably a good bit of a new normal to try and get used to.
Yeah, definitely. And no matter whatever happened in my boxing career, I'd sit back and I'd say, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I've got amazing family, amazing friends, and you know, I can walk out the door today if I want. So yeah, it was always important for me to keep it, you know, away from your life as a whole, let's say. I never got too invested in it, because for a while I did and nothing else mattered. And it was important for me to realise I've got a life outside it. Like I said, I've got an amazing girlfriend, amazing family and friends, and it was good to keep it separated like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Because, like, I mean, on the surface level, you go for a walk down the street there and people can look at you and say, oh, there's Dylan Moore in the boxer. But they have no idea what you're actually like as a person behind it all. And you have to keep that separate.
Yeah, and that's part and parcel of the game as well. They get this persona that's projected to them through social media a lot of the times. And then they meet you and you're like, geez, I wasn't expecting it to be like that.
Yeah.
But again, it's part and parcel.
Exactly. And I can 100% vouch for that. I remember the first time I ever spoke to you, I had an idea about you in my head and I came away and it was totally different. Like, obviously, I had a positive idea of you. But when you speak to somebody themselves and you build a relationship with them, that's when you realise, like, all talented sports people working at a high calibre, like, they're all just everyday people that have a gift that they manage to craft as well. Like, everybody comes back to, you're a product of your own environment.
Mm, like, I think
that's what everybody is there for.
Everybody's human at the end of the day, Jordan, and they all go in and close the same front door.
Exactly, yeah. The plans that you have in the future, obviously, I don't want to give away too much for you, but I know they're all such positive things. And there's just a real sense of excitement off you for, I suppose, the new normal, the fact that you have so many years ahead of you. Like, as I mentioned, you're only 30 years old. Like, there's a whole new life, I suppose, out there for you.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, online coaching for me next. You mentioned my little brother. I'm always going to be involved with Mason. He's got a bright career ahead of him in the game. And again, you know, with what I've done over the last 10 years, I hope it inspires some kids to just say, you know what, that's possible. I'm going to go and try that. And I'd be a happy man to be sitting at more big shows in the future in Waterford.
Absolutely. In terms of advice that you'd give people, like, say, I don't know, there's a 10-year-old listening to this show this evening and they're saying, I'd love to do what he did. What's the one key takeaway that's been there for you?
I learned, coming to the end, Jordan, what I wanted, I exactly got, and by the book. So my advice to younger kids would be delusional about what you want. You know, if you're starting off on some journey, be it a boxer or a soccer player, be delusional with your dreams. Because if you believe in them, that's exactly what you get.
Exactly, yeah. And what's that thing they say, you know, you can go to bed and keep them on the pillow, or you can get up and chase them. I suppose that's a lot of it as well. And, like, you have to be that bit, I suppose, delusional and ambitious, because if you don't invest in your own dream, it's very hard to turn around and get someone else to do it.
Yeah, definitely. And I always believed in what I was doing, and I always believed I'd get to where I got to. But that's exactly what I got. And coming to the end of it, I was like, maybe I should have set the bar a bit higher. You know, I only dreamed of Waterford and domestic fights, and the last 18 months, that's all I got, and then it ended. And I was like, maybe if I start dreaming of being a world champion or a European champion, maybe it could have went further. So yeah, my advice would be, whatever it is you're doing, believe in it and just be delusional about what you want.
I imagine some of the people that you would have met along the way, like, obviously in the different circles, like, because I know you fought, and I think, did you end up fighting in maybe 8 different countries across the course of professional?
A good few, yeah.
Yeah, like, I imagine some of the people that you would have met, like, that would have been involved in high-level boxing across the world, promoters, all these different people. Like, I'd say it's a bit of a mad world.
Yeah, it is. And it's eye-opening as well. There's a bigger world out there at the Waterford. And I'm so grateful to have met all them people. You see different walks of life. And it's kind of where I got my gratitude from. Some of them weren't so good. And when I left, I realised, yo, things are really good at home. And like I said, they're friends for life I've met from the game of boxing.
For you, it's always been something that you've carried so well, in the sense of, no matter where you've been, you've always been putting Waterford on the map. You know, it's been as much about Waterford, I suppose, for you as it's been about yourself. Like, there's been that level of support, like, fanatical. Like, I remember you fighting in those foreign countries and the amount of people flying over for them and stuff like that. Like, now, whether you're fighting in Waterford City or you're fighting in Liechtenstein, like, you still had the exact same people, which,
yeah, crazy. I remember when I fought in Manchester the first time, I think there was like 180 people went over. It was nuts. And it was when I was seeing that kind of power of support, I knew that it gave me the belief, I can bring this back to Waterford. You know, it's never been done. Look at the people that come out. If this was Manchester, can you imagine what it would be like at home? And it took a long time, but we got there. And like I said, the two nights in Waterford are the two greatest nights of my career.
I have to say to you, like, the career that you've had, when you put it into context, like, if I said to you when you were 13 years old, like you pointed out, that you'd have one professional fight, like, you know, you've made it, you've done it.
Yeah.
You look at, you've had upwards of 20 professional fights. You've had a lot of professional wins. You've been all over the world, things like that. When you really try and parcel it all into 10 seconds of perspective, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's crazy, Jordan. I remember imagine being 10-0, I used to say. You know, I used to be saying that to myself all the time. And then I surpassed that. I think it was 15 or no at one stage. And then the fights just came quick and fast. It's mad to be even sat here talking about it in the pretense. It's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's over in the blink of an eye. So to anyone doing whatever you're doing out there, enjoy every step of the way. Because like I said, it is over in the blink of an eye.
Absolutely. I remember the first time I spoke to you, what was it we said, from Rainbow Hall to the wildest places in the world, like all over the place. So the beginnings and what it turned out to be, like, I know there's no such thing as perfect endings, but at the same time, once you come out of it unscathed, happy, that's the most important thing above all else.
That's all you can ask for. I'm a happy man to be sat here today in full health, you know, excited for what's to come in the future. And like we said, look at that for a career behind me. And I just hope, like, that there's some young kids out there, because there's some talent I'm offered, and it just paves the way for him. If he can do it, I can do it.
100%. On personal note, massive thanks to you for everything down the years. You're an absolutely incredible guy as well as a great boxer. You've had a fantastic career. You've represented the place so well. You've carried yourself really well, and you are an absolute credit to yourself. Really, really hope that the future brings you everything that you want, because I think it's exactly what you deserve. And really, really appreciate you coming into me.
Jordan, I really appreciate that, and thank you.
No bother at all. Dylan Moore, everybody. I'm sure we haven't seen the last of him. And so here it is. This is the end of the last leg. That's that from me. After 5 incredible years, my time in radio is over. I'll still be on air until Thursday, but this is my last show this evening. And if you'd indulge me, I just wanted to say a couple of words before I do finish up. Nothing could have prepared me for the journey I've been on since the day I first walked through these doors. People I've met, the stories I've got to tell, the memories along the way, they're going to stay with me for the rest of my life. And the fact that I even got to have my own radio show on WLR, it still does make me pinch myself sometimes. I came in this door a confused 22-year-old with no confidence. I'm going to be leaving a man later this week. So many laughs, so many great days along the way. Even a couple of awards scattered in. There were tough days too, but look, I still wouldn't change a thing. To the incredible sports team, Kieran O'Connor, Ray Scott, Tomás McCarthy, Oisín Langan, Tony Kelly, Aidan Corbett, Gavin Whelan, Micheál Druslan, Scott Hamill, Mark Phillips and Fintan Walsh. What an absolute pleasure it's been, lads. A particular word of thanks too to Neil Goff, Michael Ryan, John Frost, Andy Maloney, Sean Power, Matt Keane, John O'Shea and many others. To my friends in the broadcast centre and out, to everyone who stopped me in the street in Dungarvan down the years, all the people and places that welcomed me with such open arms, the regular listeners, thank you all so much for your support. To my family, my mum and dad, Christine and Kevin, my brothers Aaron and Ryan, my sister Kaylee, my girlfriend Kira, my uncle Billy, you all know who you are. Thank you all for all of your support too, because you're only ever as good as the people around you. My dream to be a sports broadcaster, it started when I was 7 years old. I was at the kitchen table in Caseyville with my granddad Jimmy Coleman. 20 years on, I lived that dream. I know he's with me every single step. So good luck for now. Thanks for listening. I've been Jordan Norris. All the very best. Goodbye.